Yesterday, two British Marines, part of NATO's force, were killed in an explosion in Afghanistan's Helmand province. CIA Director General Michael Hayden recently announced that al-Qaeda has established a, quote, safe haven in Pakistan's tribal areas along the Afghanistan border over the past 18 months. According to Hayden, they're training new recruits that, quote, look Western. President Bush is in Europe this week to persuade his allies and NATO to pledge more troops to Afghanistan. France plans to send 1,000 more troops, while Britain has pledged 800. While the battle in Basra and Baghdad rage on, the U.S. war in Afghanistan has slipped off the radar yet again. Yet according to the Washington Post, nothing on the agenda is more important to Bush's legacy than turning Afghanistan around. While ongoing suicide bombings garner some attention, Afghanistan's deep poverty underlies most of the country's problems. A new report by a coalition of private aid agencies in Afghanistan concludes that about 40% of all the international aid that has been delivered to Afghanistan was returned to the donor countries in the form of foreign consultants, private security contractors, and other overhead expenses. Joining us live from Pakistan now is Kathy Gannon. She was the Associated Press correspondent in Pakistan and Afghanistan from 1986 to 2005, and she's written the book I is for Infidel, From Holy War to Holy Terror, 18 Years Inside Afghanistan. Welcome to Uprising, Kathy.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So first, let's talk about the Northwest Frontier Province, the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. This is a region that few journalists are in. And the CIA head, as I just said, has announced that al-Qaeda has a safe haven there. What are you seeing what's happening in the Northwest Frontier Province as it relates to the war in Afghanistan?
Sure. I think that's really oversimplifying it to say that al-Qaeda has a headquarters in the frontier region. Certainly there are operatives in that area, but there are also operatives in Afghanistan, in Kunar province, Pakistan. I think that it's sort of oversimplifying to say that it is all regrouped on the one side of the border. There certainly are operatives and planning and camps on the Pakistan side, but there are also operatives and planning and camps on the Afghan side, probably to the same extent. And I think those who suggest that Osama bin Laden is on the Pakistan side doesn't realize the whole tribal structure and how difficult it would be for a 6'3" Arab hide in the tribal areas, because of the often rivalries between tribes, sub-tribes, sub-clans. It's very difficult for anyone to stay in hiding for any length of time without another tribe or sub-tribe pinpointing and causing some attacks. So I think that's probably not really solid intelligence to suggest that, but certainly that there are operatives, al-Qaeda operatives on this side of the border, on the Pakistan side of the border, and regrouping, certainly that's true. But there is also a big problem on the other side of the border with increasing territory under their control, both, again, along the border areas, but also further north along toward Badakhshan in that area as well.
Kathy, NATO forces are claiming that they're there simply to improve the situation in Afghanistan, provide security, and root out terrorism, quote-unquote. What is NATO really doing?
Well, you know, I think the thing is that NATO went into the area with a mixed mandate. On one hand, it is to hunt down al-Qaeda, Taliban, whomever, and on the other hand, to try and help redevelop, rebuild, and assist the Afghans. There's a problem on several fronts. First, identifying the enemy. Who is the enemy? Is the enemy Afghan Taliban? Well, then how do you define Taliban? I mean, the United Nations itself has said that the majority of those who are fighting with the Taliban are now disgruntled Pashtuns. They're people who have been either affected by errant bombings. They're people who are disaffected with the post-Taliban situation. So I think that's one problem on NATO's, that NATO faces is identifying the enemy and often going after Afghans who are maybe are opposed to NATO but are not how you would define global terrorists as such, you know, but they're within their own environment or opposed to the foreign troops. So it's a very difficult situation, very complex situation that NATO has gotten itself into without having the information, the knowledge, and the strategy to bring things forward. And also the other thing is that people see them as being supporting this government, the Afghan government, which they have a lot of problems with, because the Afghan government people within the government, whether you're talking governors, police chiefs, deputy police chiefs, ministers, they are people who have a history in Afghanistan between 1992 and 1996, having killed a lot of Afghans, having been deeply corrupt, having mismanaged and been heavily involved in drugs. So there is a lot of difficulties that NATO walked into, and problems that NATO has to deal with, including, you know, a corrupt police force, poorly trained Afghan National Army. So it's very, very difficult. I think NATO now is in a situation in Afghanistan where it really either has to redefine its strategy, figure out who its enemy is, or get out.
Now, the characterization here in the media, as well as, of course, from the White House, is that all that's needed is more troops, and Bush is heavily lobbying his allies and NATO to send more troops, and his NATO allies are fairly reluctant, but there have been several thousand more troops pledged. So it seems as though all they're doing is throwing more troops to try to solve the problem.
Well, yes, exactly. But, you know, the problem is so complicated. This is what I'm saying, is that to throw more people in to attack a population that is now increasingly hostile towards you, to throw more soldiers in to fight an enemy that is fully defined, you're not sure who the enemy is. You say extremist. Okay, how do you define extremist? There are certainly extremists within the government of Hamid Karzai that are more extreme in their ideology than, say, some of the Taliban, for example, Abdulrazak Sayyaf and Ismail Khan and different ones who are within the government. So you have to, before you throw in more soldiers, you have to define, okay, who is your enemy? Okay, what is your strategy? Is it to go into villages and bomb villages and say, well, you know, they're using these people as human shields? Well, in fact, those people who are there are their brothers, their uncles, their fathers. So you can't say that they're using them as human shields. So it's very, very difficult to put more troops in at this time without defining who your enemy is, what your strategy is, what's your long-term strategy. How do you improve this government? How does the government improve in terms of its corruption, its heavy involvement in drugs and in the production of drugs? It's so incredibly complicated. And to just throw more troops in, it's really only to flirt with more deaths of the soldiers.
Kathy,
and
I'm
the Afghans.
I mentioned the report recently of how aid going into the country, much of it comes right back to the donor countries and not enough stays in Afghanistan. How do you think, how much of the problems of Afghanistan are related to poverty?
Well, a lot of the problems are related to poverty. And you know, this is the problem. And so many Afghans, really, they had a lot of hope post November 2001 and December when the Taliban were finally defeated. There was a lot of hope and a lot of expectations, and even though the Bonn Agreement put in a interim government filled with people who had a history between 92 and 96 of really being corrupt and of killed a lot of Afghans, people thought, okay, the international community is there. They will make sure that these people don't again return to that same history of corruption, of taking, and of lawlessness. But in fact, the international community didn't do that. They turned the country over to them. And what the international community did do in terms of involvement, it made sure that it got a lot back for itself, so that the average Afghan says, gee, you know, what are we getting? You know, we see these big 4x4s, we see all these foreigners here, but in real terms, very little of our life has changed for the better. Yes, there are better roads, but the security is so bad that they can't use the roads, or it's very dangerous to use the roads. So, you know, what projects have been constructed and have been built, because of the lawlessness that exists in the country, yes, in part because of the insurgents, but also in large part because of the lawless individuals and people within the government who are, in fact, the governors, the police chiefs, the deputy police chiefs, and some ministers. You know, so it's again, I hate to keep saying this, but it's a hugely complicated issue and country, and it's true that it is something that really deserves a lot of attention, requires a lot of attention, and there are no really simple answers. A lot of rethinking has to go on, trying to understand the situation on the ground, figure out who your enemy is, try to identify the enemy, try to identify the problems within the government. So it's very, very difficult. Hmm.
Finally, very briefly, Kathy, at this point, do you think Afghanistan is headed the way of Iraq?
No, it's two very, very different countries. You know, I mean, it has a lot of sectarian divides. It's much, much more difficult. You know, it had some structure in place and institutions. No, but, you know, the sad thing for Afghanistan and for Afghans is that it's deteriorating, and it's going the way of, you know, Afghans thought they were getting a better life post-Taliban. But what they were given was the same old Afghanistan of between 1992 and 96, of the lawlessness, the corruption. So that's the direction it's heading in. Instead of going forward, it's going back. And I think the biggest thing is that for ordinary Afghans, they're just hugely disappointed. Do they want the Taliban? No. But are they happy with what they have? Absolutely not. So it's going back instead of forward. Mm.
Kathy Gannon, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Kathy Gannon, the Associated Press correspondent in Pakistan and Afghanistan from 1986 to 2005. She's written the book IS for Infidel, From Holy War to Holy Terror, 18 Years Inside Afghanistan. She joined us live from Pakistan. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, I'd like to quote the first female member of Congress and a lifelong pacifist, Jeanette Rankin, who once said, "You can no more win a war than you can win an earthquake." That's Jeanette Rankin, and that's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.